You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batchelor with Professor Emily Wilson. She's at the University of Pennsylvania, where the students are very, very fortunate to have a new version of the Iliad rendered in English in an iambic pentameter, asking the question, as I wish I had done when I was 19 years old, who was Homer, Professor? What do we know?
Homer, who was Homer is a very difficult question, which is still viciously argued about among Homerist scholars. What we know is that for many centuries after the collapse of so-called Mycenaean civilization, there was no writing or literacy in the Greek-speaking world. During that period, for many centuries, so for many centuries before the 8th century BCE, there was no writing. And yet, during that period, these extraordinary stories were being developed about the great cities of the past, including Thebes and Troy, and the great heroes of the past, including Achilles, Agamemnon, Odysseus, and so on. Those stories and that rhythm, dactylic hexameter that we talked about for telling those stories, were told and retold and retold by performing poets who were composing their poems as they went along. Then at some point in the 8th century, writing came to the Greek-speaking world, taken from the Phoenicians. They developed the Phoenician alphabet. And sometime, probably fairly soon after that, the Iliad and the Odyssey were composed. And they're these monumental written poems based on this long oral tradition, which respond in extraordinary ways to that oral tradition, not telling those stories of the Trojan War in anything like the ways you might expect, because they're composed for an audience who knows those stories and those characters very well, and who's ready for this extremely sophisticated approach to how could we retell the story of the Trojan War at a length that presumably had never been done before, because the Iliad is far too long for an after-dinner single performance, and also in ways that are very unexpected.
I told myself when reading that the reason the story is so engaging, even though I know the endings, even though I know that Achilles will die, it's the same way I'm always fascinated by another presentation of Hamlet or Macbeth. I know Macbeth will die. I know Lady Macbeth is not trustworthy. I know Duncan shouldn't come. And yet I still watch the actors present the lines. Is that how it was for the Achaean audience, Greek, the audience of the Mediterranean basin?
Yes. So the Hellenic audience, or the Greek-speaking audience, who presumably would have been listening to this poem composed in multiple different deep Greek dialects, maybe adapted in different ways for different local audiences. The Iliad makes this very familiar story very compelling, and you're constantly thinking, maybe this won't happen the same way this time. And it's also, I think it's not just about seeing Macbeth again. It's also, if you knew the Hamlet, you would still be surprised by the way Shakespeare reshapes this familiar story. And the Iliad does similarly, even more extraordinary things with its with the tradition it's drawing on. So, for instance, you say we know Achilles will die, but we don't get that in the Iliad. We know that the Troy will fall, but we don't get that in the Iliad. We know how the story ought to start with the judgment of Paris and the quarrel over the apple of conflict. We don't get that. Where is that? We don't get the Trojan horse. We don't get the ships gathering at Aulis with the wind failing to blow. All these, we don't get the abduction of Helen by Paris, which starts the whole Trojan War. Instead, we get a month and a half out of this war, which is neither the beginning nor the end. Yes, and we also don't get this sort of focus on Greeks versus Trojans. Instead, we get this intense focus on Greeks versus Greeks.
The professor has provided a summary of each chapter and then the notes attached to the chapter, because there were all these decisions that had to be made about how to tell the story from the Greek language. For example, I learned from the professor that there are three different words for spear.
That was difficult, yes, because we don't have three different words for spear.
Right.
Yes.
And each word has a connection to another part of the paragraph or another part of the sentence. Now, we do have the Aeneid. Mm-hmm. And halfway through your book, I began to resent the Aeneid. I didn't realize I would. It's as if Hollywood turned it over to, oh, let's be modern about this, to ChatGPT, saying, give me a version of the Iliad. And
I don't think you're right to resent the Aeneid. The Aeneid is also an extraordinary poem, and let's celebrate Virgil too, but it's a very, very different project. I mean, in a way, he's trying to compress the Iliad and the Odyssey together and into a shorter and much denser Latin poem, which does include some of the famous hits like the Trojan Horse.
Yes, it does. But at the same time, I began to resent the Aeneid as self-centered, because he wants to make it about the foundation of Rome. You know, their patrimony dates to these godlike, ferocious gatherings. Whereas the Iliad that you've given us, well, I used to be a novelist, professor, and I've mentioned this to you. It has the skills of an English novel. You have a narrative that focuses in on a stage, and then you go into the mind of a character and out of the mind of a character. You make choices about where you're going to use the omniscience of the narrator and where you're going to have only the point of view of a character. And this is, what you say, we're comfortable with 7th century BCE?
Yes.
So
I mean, some people would argue with me about that, but I think 7th is a good guess. Yes.
That means the skills of novels were present in the storytelling and then lost for 2,500 years, and, well, 2,300 years, until we credit the English novel for reintroducing them in the English language. Every different language has a novel. What I especially also liked were there are missing books or missing versions, right? That were only reflected in here. There are other stories and other characters who are heroic. Do we believe that there are heroes here that have other fates?
Yes. I mean, we know quite a lot from the ancient commentaries on Homer about other versions of stories that are hinted at in the Iliad, and also about texts that exist only in either summaries or a few fragmentary comments, such as the Cypria, a poem which apparently started with the plan of Zeus to reduce the human population, where Zeus is mad that there are so many human beings causing so much mischief on planet Earth. And so he wants to, you know, kill off as many people as possible. So he comes up with the scheme to do that, which means the birth of Helen and the birth of Achilles. Once those characters exist, then the Trojan War will ensue, and a huge number of people will get wiped out. So the plan of Zeus that's alluded to at the start of the Iliad is perhaps that plan that we hear about more in the Cypria, of which we only have the beginning and some summary comments. I mean, there's also a lot of debate about to what extent did these poems exist at the same time as the Iliad and the Odyssey? Were they composed later? To what extent were there fixed versions of any of these stories? I mean, there's also an epic story about Memnon, the Ethiopian son of the goddess Dawn, who was imagined as a sort of parallel character to Achilles.
Let's go to the story itself. We've teased it long enough, Professor. Yes. Professor Emily Wilson, I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.